My name is Pastor Michelle, in case you guys don't know. I am that guy's wife, Pastor Richard. And we're going to tag team tonight. So it's going to be a little bit different. All right? Which is going to be good, because different's good. Did you guys go back? You guys went back to school this week? You guys doing okay? No? Don't worry. Christmas break is coming up. It's going to be all good. It's going to be all good. Any lady who's going to girls' night out this Friday? Cool. You guys can, the boys can go and help serve. You guys can do that. You guys cannot attend. It's going to be a packed house. Almost every ticket is sold. So if you haven't gotten your ticket yet, get it tonight. And it's going to be fun. Well, we're going to jump into the word. But before we do, I want to pray. If you've come into the house of God just because maybe you always come and you're just here for whatever, then I want you to shake yourself up. If you came because maybe somebody invited you, then I want you to know that God wants to speak to you. If you come not, if you came not expecting anything from God, then you need to change that mindset right now, because God has something to speak to you. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight, God. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is alive, God. I thank you that you care about us, that you know us, that this is a divine appointment with you. So Holy Spirit, speak to us. We don't want to leave here the same. We want to learn something. We want to be changed, Father. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, then say amen. Okay, crack open your Bibles. Go to the Old Testament, to the book of Ezekiel. To Zeke, okay? Because I got a scripture I want to share with you that God just told me that, you know, to preach this message. So you're here for a good reason. But I'm going to talk about prayer. And some of you guys are like, oh, man, I am not good at prayer, Pastor Michelle. Good, because that's what I'm going to preach about. Now, if you're thinking prayer is absolutely boring, then you don't know anything about prayer. Okay, and if you're not very good at it, then join the crowd, because sometimes I feel like I'm not very good at prayer. All right, but we can be really critical of ourselves. But you are really important to the plan of God. And your prayers are really important, not only for yourself, but for other people. And God has asked you to pray every single day. Did you know that? He's asked you to do that. And your prayers can change things, can make things happen. So the other thought is, if you're not praying, does that mean things aren't happening because of you and you're not praying? I mean, just a thought. Think about it. You're pretty important to the plan of God. In fact, so important that in Ezekiel 22:30, if you got a highlighter or a pen, you ought to highlight or write in your Bible. It's good to write in your Bible. It makes you remember verses. But in Ezekiel, what did I say? 22:30, it says this. Says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. This scripture is talking about somebody standing up for God in a place where nobody else is. Somebody who's willing to step up, and this is a great verse to help you with your prayer life, to help you get into praying. You see, back in the days, there was always a wall surrounding a city for protection. And a gap, which is what he's talking about, a gap in the wall meant that the enemy could get through. So they sought for someone to fill in that gap. You see, in your school, in your life, with your friend's life, the enemy is going to try to get in there. Maybe it's to yourself. Maybe it's to your family. Maybe you know somebody who's going through a hard time. And God is seeking for somebody to stand up and to fill in that gap. God is seeking for somebody to stand up with some faith so that the enemy can't get in, so that the enemy can't rule in that area. You need to stand up for something. If you thought that being a Christian means it could just be a side portion of your life, then you're wrong. You've got to stand up for God. It is so important that you talk about God. It is so important that you pray. It is so important that you have a relationship with God, like we were singing about, that's on fire, that is literally consuming your life. Because people every day are walking away from God. They're walking away from God. They had a gap in their wall, and the enemy came in and took what he wanted. And that's where you and I need to stand up for Jesus. Because when you share your testimony, somebody's listening, and it gives glory to God. Somebody's reminded about Jesus. When you pray for your mom who maybe isn't serving God right now, When you pray for your teachers, when you pray for your friends, when you pray for yourself, you're standing up so that the enemy cannot get through the wall. God is seeking for somebody. And in this verse, it was such a tragedy because it says that he found no one. Who will stand up for God? Is it you? Are you willing to be that brave? Do you have enough guts? You see, people will stand up for a color. People will stand up for a neighborhood. People will stand up for a street and die for that. But sometimes people won't even stand up for Jesus Christ. And I don't understand that because that has to do with eternity. Some of you will, you know, your walls are filled with posters of whomever or whatever. I'm not here to dog on anybody. But think about that. You'll stand up. Somebody will say this. I don't think Justin Bieber can sing. Say what? Say that to my face, right? I mean, and then all of a sudden someone says, well, I don't believe in God. He's not real. And we say, well, that's your opinion. Say what you may, believe what you must. When we ought to say God's not real? You mean we just came out of nothing? You mean we're just here for no reason? You mean this whole planet and earth and you and I exist because there's nothing to do with nobody? You see, we need to stand up for God. It doesn't need to be something where we're pounding at people. But we need to stand in the gap. And one of those ways is prayer. Prayer is so powerful. You need to spiritually stand up. Which means when the enemy comes at you with a thought. If I were to have everybody raise their hands, which I'm not going to. Who struggles with bad thoughts? Everybody in this room would raise their hand. Whether it's a sexual thought, whether it's a depressing thought, whether it's angry thoughts, whatever it is. This is a lot of time where the battlefield is, where the enemy will throw things at you. Can I talk about sex for a moment? Can I talk about that for a moment? Yes? Okay, we all good with that? It's amazing how we get so down on ourselves because maybe you've had a sexual thought. In fact, maybe you were even reading your Bible and you had a sexual thought. Maybe it was even during praise and worship and you're thinking, why am I thinking that? Get out, get out, get out. Okay, I'm just being real, right? Can I just be real? And you think that you're just this, you know, like, what's wrong with me? Okay, but I want you to know that the enemy is constantly throwing things at you. It's not because you're a pervert or you're disgusting or you're some grosso, okay? Or you're so addicted to things that you can never get over them. Yeah, right. Stand up and pray for yourself. You need to stand up to that, cast it down. See, I'm not going to think like that anymore. And pray for yourself. Can I get an amen? Okay. Prayer is powerful. The next verse I want to show you is in Numbers 16. And are you guys alive? I want you guys to practice saying amen. Say it with some soul. Say that's right. Say glory. Okay. You guys need to have fun in church. You guys know that, right? Okay, Numbers is in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. There you are. Numbers 16. This is a stinking rad story, okay? In Numbers 16, verse number 44. When it comes to prayer, not only do you need to stand up, but you need to be aggressive. Prayer is not this thing, God, if you have time, you know, I was just thinking maybe God, you could do this for me. If you have any time to think about little old me. Okay, that is not a prayer. Okay, you're viewing yourself wrong in the eyes of God. God thinks you're valuable. God knows every hair on your head. God wants you to live a free and amazing life. So don't go to God saying, well, maybe, hopefully, God, if you're there, if you will not strike me to hell, Father. Okay, I mean, get some guts and be aggressive in your prayer. And I want to show you an example in Numbers, chapter 16, verse number 44. Listen to what's going on. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, get away from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell on their faces. God was ready to call it quits with these people. He was ready to say, forget it. Listen to what Moses did. Listen to what he did. It says this. So Moses said to Aaron, Take a censer and put fire in it from the altar and put incense on it and take it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them, for the wrath has gone out from the Lord that the plague has begun. So God was sending a plague to these people because they were no longer serving him. They turned their backs on God. God was done with it. He was done with it. So Moses and Aaron said, well, let's get together and let's help save these people. Let's go before God and ask him to save them. So he went, and back in the days, the priest was to take a censer and he was to make atonement on the altar for people's sin. Atonement meant forgiving of the sins. And so Moses tells Aaron, go do it. Hurry as fast as you can. And it was like this slow motion movie where he grabbed the censer and he was like, running to make atonement, and you saw the plague behind him. People were dying from this plague. And listen to what it says in this verse. And in verse number 48, he says, and he stood between the dead and the living. So the plague was stopped. He stood between the dead and the living. He was so aggressive with asking God to stop what was going on that he literally was the thing that stopped it. He stood between the dead and the living. Sorry, I lost my voice. I was really preaching good too, hon, huh? You and I are called to stand between the dead and the living. To be that for those people. Hon, do you want to tag and come on up?
I got your back. So, as Pastor Michelle was talking, you know, there you have Aaron and Moses, and there they are. He's standing in between the dead and the living, and it's the words of Moses. It's the actions of Aaron that are preventing the righteousness of God to consume these people. And, you know, we're talking about prayer, and I'm specifically going to be talking about a word called intercession. And I know in the past we've spoken a little bit about these before, but I really want you guys to get a hold of this, because these are action words. These are words that you and I need to make a part of our lives. Because, you see, Moses is a picture of the way we should be. He's a picture of the way our lives need to be. Because Moses is no different and no special, not any much more special than you and I in this place. Because the relationship that Moses had with God is the same, if not smaller, than what ours should be. Because Moses didn't have Jesus at that time to break down the wall of separation between him and God. You see, you and I have the opportunity, and even in a sense, to be closer to God than Moses was back in that day. I mean, right now Moses is in heaven, he's all right, he's chilling with Jesus, it's okay. You know, but here on earth, you and I, we can live our life in such a way that we too can stand in between the living and the dead. I mean, all you have to do is go to school. All you have to do is look down your street and you can see the dead. You know, we talked about it all in October. You can see the dead. You can see the depressed. You can see the downtrodden. You can feel it even sometimes going into school. You can feel even heavier if you left your homework at home. Okay, you can feel the death. You can feel the depression. You can feel, I mean, sometimes you can just feel the wickedness. You know, Ezekiel 22:30, where Pastor Michelle started, it says to stand in the gap. It says that you can make a difference. You got to turn there right now. We're going to go to another place in Ezekiel. But it says you can make a difference in someone's life by the words you speak, by the actions you take. Is that there's not one person in this room who is weak. There's not one person in this room who doesn't have an impact in your world. And there's not one person in this room who couldn't have a larger impact in your world. You guys get this? See, if you guys have your Bibles, if you turn a couple pages over, if you're in Ezekiel, go to Ezekiel 33:2-7. I want to read you a quick little piece here about what it means to be a watchman. And God says right here, it says in Ezekiel 33, right here, Ezekiel 33:2-7. Oh. There it is. It says, again, the word of the Lord came to me. God's speaking again to this man, Ezekiel. He says, son of man, that's basically you and I. He says, speak to the children of your people and say to this, when I bring a sword upon the land and the people in this land take a man for their territory and their watch, take him there as their watchman. When he sees a sword coming in the land, he blows the trumpet and warns the people. Whoever hears the sound of the trumpet does not make a warning. the sword comes and takes him away, that blood shall be on his own head. But if the man heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning, the blood will be upon himself. He who takes heed of the warning will save his life. But the watchman who sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, the people are not warned, the sword comes and takes any person among them, and he's taken away from his iniquity, the blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear the word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked in his way, the wicked shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. You see, here you have Moses and here you have Aaron. And all of a sudden, you know, God's kind of done with them. I mean, sometimes it just happens where it's like, you know, you run out of chances. And here Moses and Aaron, they come in and they begin to do something about it. They say, God, you know, we know you're merciful. We know that they don't deserve any more chances, but God, we're standing up to make a difference. And here the Bible tells a story about a watchman. It says a watchman's job was to stand at the top of the wall in that gap and to look for danger coming. And it said if the watchman was there, if he's looking out, if he's at his post and he sees the armies coming and he doesn't do anything about it and people die, it's his fault. But if the watchman sees people coming to destroy and to burn and to kill the town on the inside, and the people, they don't hide and cover, they don't grab their swords and they die, well, then it's their own fault because they knew better. You see, the Bible's called us, you and I, to be these watchmen. He's called us to be these people who stand in the gap. He's called us to do this thing called intercession. And what that means is we stand in the gap. It means we warn people. It means we go to God on other people's behalf to rescue them. You see, prayer is oftentimes not very much so about you. It's about others. See, the funny thing in life is the closer you get to God, the deeper you know him, the less things become about you, and the more things become about him and the people around you. It's funny the way that works. Less about me and more about him and the people around me. So this watchman's job is to warn the others. It's to do whatever it takes to save their lives. And God said this, he said, if you're a watchman in this place, he says, I will tell you things and I will tell you when danger is coming. I will share with you my secrets and the places I'm going and the places I need to send you. You see, our job is this. As Pastor Michelle was saying, you know, Moses and Aaron were smart enough to be close enough to God to hear God saying, look, danger's coming. Look, there's about to be a throwdown right now. What are you going to do about it? So all of a sudden, we need to be listening and praying to hear what God's speaking. There's danger. There's issues. There's trouble coming. And we need to be smart and wise enough to listen to God and to do something about it. You know, there's this word in the Bible called intercessor or interceding or doing intercessory prayer. And it's kind of like one of those church words you don't understand. And all it means to intercede is to talk to somebody for somebody else. That's all it is. You come before somebody. It's like, kind of like when your parent goes to the parent-teacher conference. You know, you got in trouble. The teacher's like, you know, I got to talk to your mom or your dad. And they go in and then you be in it, and they talk to the teacher for you. Now, if you're doing good and your mom or dad's cool, they'll defend you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no, my daughter didn't do that. She would never do that. My boy, no, he must have been defending himself. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if they're cool, if they're tight, you know, they got your back, right? No, officer. No. They did not steal that. That just fell into their pocket, sir. I'm sure this is, I mean, Boy Scout all the way, right? You know, I mean, if they're cool, I'm not, hopefully not lying for you, but, you know, the person interceding on your behalf is good. I mean, if you're in trouble, you want a good lawyer. Call me Larry H. Parker, 80%, right? You know, victory. Brother, getting people millions of dollars. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Well, God's called you to be an intercessor. Because, see, God himself, Jesus Christ himself, was the intercessor on our behalf. Well, you don't got to turn there, but there's a verse in Isaiah 53, 12 says this. He says, at the end of it, he says, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great. He, capital H, shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he, capital H, poured out his soul into death. Jesus did something. He was numbered with the transgressors. Last part here in Isaiah 53:12, he says this, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. You see, Jesus walked this earth and said, man, this place is pretty jacked up. So I'm going to die on this cross. And I'm going to talk to the Father and say, God, forgive them. Why? Because they know not what they do. See, Jesus said to God what we couldn't say for ourselves. Jesus, through his death and intercession, speaking to the Father on our behalf, what did he do? Got us off the hook. You see, the watchman does for the people inside the building what they can't do for themselves. The watchman's on the top of the hill. He's on top of the building. Why? Because the people on the inside of the town can't see. Only the watchman can speak the words that'll save those people's lives. See, you're in this place. Your butt is in that chair because somebody interceded for you. Because you had a mom, a grandma, an auntie, a pastor, you had a neighbor, you had some little old lady who'd been to church, who she's older than dirt itself, and she was praying for you. You had a watchman that was praying for you. Because let me tell you this, you were not praying for yourself. When I was a dirty little sinner kid kicking my neighbor's cat, I was not praying to go to heaven. When I was a kid making fun of the Christians who lived across the street because they had a Noah video game and they did not have Mortal Kombat, okay, I was not praying for myself. But I had a crazy aunt who was praying for me. God bless her. She was praying for me, and she was telling me and my brother about heaven and streets of gold, and she was telling me, and she was sharing those weird books and stuff with me that all of a sudden I understand now. Why? Because she was interceding for me, because I did not know any better. She spoke to God for me because I wasn't smart enough to speak to God for myself. And you have people in your life who you know are not talking to God, but you know better. They're on the inside. And they can't see what's coming for them. They don't know that hell is on its way to claim their life. They don't know that depression is coming to steal their joy. They don't know that bulimia is trying to rob their dignity. They don't know that a false sense of pride is trying to make them think that they're okay without God. Because the enemy's coming. The armies are coming. The horses of war are stamping their way in and beating down the walls to rip every good thing God has for them away. But if there is a watchman, a watchwoman, someone who sees trouble coming and says, hey, God has better for you. God has something greater for you. God has something stronger for you. You don't need to live this way. Then all of a sudden, it says they'll be warned. At the very best, they'll give their heart to the Lord. At the very worst, somebody was there to warn them. And they weren't taken without knowing. You know, Proverbs 18:21, you're going to turn there unless you really want to. And if you do, you better underline it because it's a good one. It says this. It says, the tongue holds the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. See, your tongue, when you pray, I mean, a lot of times we talk about the way we talk to each other. But in your tongue, in your words, is life and death. In the words that you speak to God, the words you speak to the Holy Spirit, the words you speak about the people around you can bring life to them. I mean, who love it will eat its fruit. You'll see salvation. You'll see healing. You'll see brokenness taken away. You'll see people hurt put together when you are bold enough to pray for the people around you. Mr. Tripp, what happens? You know, there's prayers that I had to pray for my family 10, 12, 13 years to see happen. And they're happening. There's prayers that I've prayed for, immediately things happen. And just the other day, my daughter wanted to go to Disneyland, so she started praying. My 3-year-old daughter started praying for the family to get better. And you know what? We got better and better enough to go to Disneyland. I'm saying, my 3-year-old daughter, Daddy, can I pray for Mommy? Daddy, can I pray for Carter? Jesus, heal them in Jesus' name. It was the cutest thing in the entire world. Wasn't it true? I was like, dang, I guess I'm doing something right. It was the cutest thing in the world. And there she was with her backpack and her underwear. And I said, okay, my daughter runs around in the underwear all day. It's kind of embarrassing. We don't let her outside. There she was with her red backpack and her aerial chonies praying in Jesus' name. It was really, really cute. It was really, really cute. Oh, man. But anyway, you know what? It happens. That's what happens when you intercede. That's what happens. You speak life into other people's lives. You become the watchman who refuses to do that. Look, Jesus did it for you. He spoke what we refused to, and life came to us. That's why you're here. Look, you and I know people that maybe don't come to church no more. You need to intercede for them. You need to speak for them. Because they're not speaking for themselves when they're out partying, when they're out, you know, giving themselves away, when they're out putting things into their body that you know will destroy them, when they're out giving up on themselves, you need to not give up on them. You need to speak to God on their behalf. God, rescue them. God, turn their heart. God, do for them what they won't do for themselves. We need to be brave enough to do that. To speak up, and not just speak to God, but to speak to them. That's what an intercessor does. That's what a good intercessor does, is somebody who stands up for someone who won't. You know, one of the things that makes God the angriest is when no one speaks up for people who can't speak for themselves. I mean, it's the worst. One of the things that gets me so angry when I hear about, like, child abuse and different things like that. I mean, because these little kids can't defend themselves. They can't do anything to help themselves. They're defenseless. How can someone do that? You know, God feels the same way about those who are outside in this world. No concept of who God is. And they're getting beat up by the world. They're getting beat up by the devil. Their flesh is just taking their lives wherever they want to go. And they're tossed to and fro. And they're basically slaves to this system. When you and I can do something about it. We can stand up and we can pray to God and we can intercede and we can make a noise and we can blow a trumpet and we can invite them and we can pray for them and we can love them and we can bring God's goodness to their world. That's what it means to be an intercessor. Someone who talks to God about other people and then talks to other people about God. That's what we got to do. And that's all I got. I'm done. Oh, she wants to say one more thing.
Okay, I want to say one more thing and then... we'll be done. But we're going to do a little prayer afterwards. You're going to, because maybe some of you don't know how to pray. We're going to show you how to pray because we're all going to pray. So it's going to be good. But in Luke 11, I want you guys to turn there in the New Testament. And I want you, you know, Pastor Richard, I'm talking about praying for yourself. And Pastor Richard's talking about how you need to pray for others. So I want to go back to praying for yourself real quick because this is going to really help you out. It's Jesus telling a story. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him? This is Luke 11:5. And go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. It's midnight. Okay. This is, you know, a couple thousand years ago. When it was nighttime, you shut the door and you took a big giant beam and you locked your door and you didn't open it up. And everybody kind of slept in one room, basically. And so if somebody were to come in and knock on your door, it would wake up the entire house. It says in verse number 6, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. So here comes a neighbor knocking on his friend's door saying, hey, I need some food. Because it was a huge custom, no matter who you were, where you were from, if you journeyed a long way, you had to feed them. That was what you had to do. So it's midnight. He's asking his neighbor for some food. And he says, and he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise to give it to you. I say to you, though, he will not rise and give it to him because he is his friend. Yet because of all his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. See, he's like, he's not going to give him the food just because he's his friend, but it's because he's bugging him, basically. He's so persistent in knocking on the door that he's going to wake up the entire household that he gets up and finally gives him the bread. You see, maybe you've prayed for something and it hasn't happened. And maybe you've prayed once, twice, 3 times, whatever it is. Do not give up. Keep on praying. That's what this verse says. This verse basically tells you, you do not have the right to give up on prayer. You don't have that right, no matter how hard it is. And I want to talk about personal struggles here. Personal struggles in your life. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's a gender identity. I'm going to be real serious about this. Maybe it is where you just cannot stay with one guy or one girl. Maybe you're one person at church, but you're another person at school. And hey, you're even another person on the internet. Well, you can have this whole, you can be a Christian in church, but man, on the internet, man, you won't believe what you're typing. Message here, text here, picture here, all this kind of stuff. It's like you have your own little internet personality. and you struggle with all these things inside of you and you don't know what to do, I'm telling you, do not give up. Be persistent. Keep on knocking at that door and listen to what Jesus says after that. The next verse, he says, so I will say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Continually, you have to do that stuff. Over and over and over again. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. See, God loves you. God wants you to be happy. In fact, it even goes on and it says this. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Dad, I need some Wonder Bread. Oh, here's a stone. No, your father's not going to do that. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? No. For if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Ridiculous, Jesus. That's not going to happen. No, daddy's going to do that. Okay? Jesus is being ridiculous. He's being crazy. Okay? And he says, if then, being evil, you and I have the ability to be evil, right? He says, even then, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, God wants to bless you. God wants to answer your prayers. God wants you to be set free. But you have to have enough guts and enough persistence, and you need to be aggressive in your prayer life. You need to go after it. I'm going to have coffee with a girl on Sunday because after 10 years of prayer for my sister, her friend finally got saved. This girl was addicted to drugs. She was an alcoholic in high school. I mean, she has so many issues. And I get the privilege of having coffee with her and sitting by her in church because my sister prayed for her because she was persistent over a decade of prayer. Guys, it just doesn't happen overnight. But it does happen. People are set free. You know, we got the privilege, and when they come back from Bible college, there's a couple, Anthony and Andrea. Andrea was a lesbian for years. Andrea was anorexic till she almost died. But after persistent prayer from her parents, persistent prayer for herself, she's now living a whole life. Her and her husband are going to Bible college. She is healthy. She is whole. She is married and she is happy. And that can happen. You guys, whatever you're going through, I'm telling you, be persistent with God and pray to him. And I guarantee you it's going to happen, but you cannot stop. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't stop. No, shout it out then. Now turn to the other person and shout it out them. Don't stop. You can sing to them if you want. Go ahead. I can hear it. Okay, that's it.
Oh. Don't stop. That's right. I won't. Oh, I won't.